Climbing Gold is a production of Duct Tape Then Beer.
Hey everyone, the Olympics are now in full swing, and next week climbing makes its debut. We wanted to do a short preview of the competition for you.
Today we're going to do a quick rundown on what to expect from climbing in the Olympics, and producer John Bergman is going to help us explain.
We also get a little perspective from Jerome Meyer, former competitor and now head of Olympic coordination for the International Federation of Sport Climbing.
And we make picks for who is going to win. This is Climbing Gold. Let's dive in. Will you break down the format for us in Tokyo?
Yeah, it's going to be a combined, what's called the combined discipline. And the way I always tell people, the easiest way to think about it is it's like climbing's version of the triathlon, where you have kind of all these different disciplines coming together under one, the umbrella of one event. So the disciplines for this, for the combined event in climbing, it's going to be speed climbing, bouldering, and then lead climbing. That'll be the order that they're sequenced.
Yeah. So in an overall sense, how do you find out who wins?
At the end of every one of those three events, climbers will get a rank, right? So speed climbing, it's contested just like a bracket style elimination tournament. So you'll have climbers competing, you know, one against another, side by side. Whoever wins that heat will move on to the next heat, and then that person will move on to the next heat, and eventually everybody will be ranked first through 20th, depending on how they performed in that little speed tournament. Next is going to be bouldering. There will be three boulders. It'll be scored just like it is scored on the World Cup circuit, so anybody that's watched bouldering as a World Cup event knows how there are, zone holds and tops and how you're awarded different points for that stuff. And then at the end of that round, the competitors will be ranked as well according to their score. And then for the last event, the lead climbing, again, score just like a World Cup, whoever climbs the highest, or ideally, you know, whoever reaches the top, and they'll have a rank as well. So the final score of the Olympians in the combined discipline will be a multiplication of their ranks in each event. It is a little confusing until you kind of like try to break it down, and it becomes pretty easy to understand. In other words, if you get first place in speed climbing, and then you get, let's say, I'm going to write these down so I make sure that we have that. So you get first place in speed climbing, second place in bouldering, and third place in lead climbing. Let's say you would do that. So it would be first, second, third. So it would be your first place, one, times your second place for bouldering, times your third place for lead climbing. So your final score for the combined discipline would be six. Does that make sense? Nothing like trying to do math on the radio, right?
So lowest score wins.
Lowest score wins, yep.
How long does the event take to unfold?
Yeah, it's all going to unfold over 4 days in Tokyo. There's a men's division and a women's division. Each division has 20 participants, and the maximum number that any country can have is two men and two women. So in other words, people familiar with the U.S. scene, they know that there are two American men and two American women qualified for the Olympics, for Tokyo climbers. And so if they're thinking like, why isn't there a fifth? You know, why isn't there a sixth American in there? Well, it's because like the quota has been maximized, two men and two women for the U.S. So it wouldn't be possible for us to send any more American climbers to Tokyo.
John, those climbers are Brooke Rabatou, Kyra Condie, Nathaniel Coleman, and Colin Duffy.
Yeah, exactly. There will be a qualifying round that will start, and it'll just be contested, as we just explained, with speed climbing, and then a bouldering round, and then a lead climbing round. Top eight will advance to the final round, and then eventually you'll have a medals for men and medals for women.
Yeah, and so in our first episode, we touched on the fact that the combined format was out of necessity. The International Olympic Committee said to the International Federation of Sport Climbing, you get one medal, right? And figure out what you want to do with it. And the IFC took three disciplines and put them together so that no single discipline got left behind in terms of attention or money. When we were doing our reporting, we spoke with Jerome Meyer, who is basically in charge of the Olympics for the International Federation of Sport Climbing. he expressed this sort of reality that it's pretty unpredictable.
In speed, if you miss a hold, then you lose 2 seconds, and then you move from first to 20. In bouldering, the intensity is so high that same if you miss a zone or a top, then you fall. So the combine, we saw that sometimes you have people leading one discipline, two discipline, and then they make a little mistake, and then bam, they fall into 10th place. So that could be the results, the medals could be really happening. We could have the question mark until the last moment. So that's one specificity of that format. There's very few certainty about if you're strong about the fact that you could win.
So it's a small field, and it's a format that's producing wild lead swings, so it's pretty much up for grabs.
I think that opens up the interesting quirks of scoring, though, that if you have a speed specialist, let's say, who's almost guaranteed to win speed, but then get last in the other two disciplines, that winds up with the same score, 1 × 8 × 8, 64. That's the same score as somebody getting fourth in all three disciplines, because that's, 4 × 4 × 4. And it's just kind of interesting because you would think that a climber that's the fourth best in the world at all three disciplines is a better climber overall than one who, wins speed but is last in the other two. And so, you're like, I don't know, it's a weird scoring system when you're kind of like, huh, it really doesn't, because the point is to find, the best climber in the world, and yet it doesn't really celebrate well-roundedness.
I don't think you can say like the Olympics are going to determine the best climber in the world. Now, maybe that's how it will be marketed or promoted, and that's fine. But like at the end of the day, I think we know, as people familiar with this discipline, what it's actually showing is on that given day, who is the best at the combined discipline, right? Like it's not necessarily showing broadly like who is the best climber.
I'm still definitely going to call them the best climber in the world, though. Whoever wins, it's so exciting.
Yeah, you got to sell it. Sure. Yeah, you got to sell the sizzle a little bit. Yeah. So you'll get no objection from me. But I think when you start to kind of parcel it, it's like, well, it's not really the best climber.
Who are the favorites for Tokyo? Like, if you were to say like snapshot right now, obviously anything can happen. It's a tricky format. There's a lot up there. World Cups are always a little bit like they can produce pretty crazy results, but who is the favorite right now coming into Tokyo?
Okay, I think that the male and female favorites, the woman would be Janja Garnbret. Janja Garnbret's from Slovenia. She has to be considered the favorite just because she swept the 2019 bouldering circuit, World Cup bouldering circuit. So obviously she's, incredibly good in that department. But even kind of prior to doing that on the bouldering World Cup circuit, she was like one of the best, if not the best, in the lead climbing division. So she is, she very well could get first place in bouldering and first place in lead. And then her speed climbing, she probably won't win it, but she's not the, by any means, not the slowest in the field. She could actually do quite well at speed climbing. So I think for that reason, you have to look at Janja Garnbret as the favorite, and if she's not, or if she doesn't perform incredibly well, it likely will be because she maybe, had a mistake or something. Tomoa Narasaki in the men's division from Japan, he's become the epitome of the all-arounder. He was a bouldering specialist going into the Olympic push, but since then, he's just been, like, crushing. He's actually, like, a legitimately top-level speed climber at this point. And so he could do incredibly well in the speed division. He could certainly win bouldering, and he could probably do pretty well in lead too. So those would be my two picks.
So you're betting against Adam Ondra.
I think Adam Ondra, it all depends on how he does in speed climbing, which I don't, that is by his own admission, the discipline that he would struggle with. I think if he gets like mid-level in speed climbing, he has a good shot of making podium. If he gets like low, like, 18th, 19th, 20th, that is a huge hole to climb out of. I mean, if he gets last or close to last in speed climbing, you pretty much he has to win bouldering and lead, right? And like, he certainly could, but that's a lot of pressure going into like the next two disciplines. Like, hey, you have to win both of these.
But he's not that bad of a speed climber, is he? I mean, he's not going to get last out of a field of 20, is he?
He has really, really been working hard at speed climbing.
That's the most possible diplomatic way, you know, like, huh.
I don't think he'll get last in speed climb. Yeah, that's certainly worst case scenario. But I think his best hope is to get kind of like middle of the pack. Yeah. How about your picks, Alex?
Oh, is it the same?
Yeah.
Actually, though, I feel like, you know, just to root for Team USA, I do feel like Brooke has a shot at doing quite well.
Oh, absolutely. I think it, especially when we were talking about like how anything can happen at the Olympics, you can be surprised. I very, very easily could envision Brooke, you know, making podium or better. You know, I don't know. I think especially with how well she's been doing it on the bouldering circuits so far, like it's not outlandish to think like she could get like second place or maybe first. Who knows? Like she could get first, second, or third in the bouldering portion. And it's interesting because she's also incredibly good at lead climbing. So yeah, Brooke is, Brooke could be kind of like this, definitely the standout.
So that's our preview. In terms of viewing, it's still a little bit of a slight question mark, but it sounds like in the U.S., people will be able to watch via YouTube TV or Hulu with live TV. Basically, you're trying to find, you know, the Olympic Channel or sort of the NBC family of channels, NBC Sports, CNBC, etc. And it sounds like another really good option if you don't have those channels on your cable plan or something like that, is Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service, which is new. And I don't know. I've never used it before, but that's how our team over here is going to try to watch. Thanks for listening.